Dear God, I love you. I bless you. I magnify you. I adore you. I place none before you. I ask for your grace. I ask for your mercy. I ask most of all for your Holy Spirit to reside, to move, to rule, to move within me, my mind, my body, my spirit. Anoint my lips that they may speak your truth and speak your with power and authenticity and authority. God, I ask you just to be inside every heart that's listening, every eye that's watching, and every ear that's listening to what you have to say to me and through me. God, let them not hear me or see me, but let them see you. Let your Holy Spirit make itself manifest throughout this day, throughout this hour, throughout this time. Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In your mighty son's name I pray, amen. Amen. Good morning. God bless you. Thank you for joining with us again in our different environment. This is my wife's she shed, or her nice new office. She is shouting for joy right now. This is her new office that she is so happy and ecstatic that we were able to provide for her. And I'm glad she is able to enjoy it. And I'm glad that she's allowed me to overtake it for this next couple of minutes before she kicks me out. So we are continuing with our series we started last week, the How to Neighbor series. Last week we talked about races reconciled and how we are all one race, and we're dealing with the sin of racism that this country was founded on, and how Jesus is the answer to the sin of racism. And through him, he can show us how to neighbor to those that are different than us by races or classifications. Today, we're going to be talking about how to neighbor, how to deal with empowering the poor. And the poor you're going to have with us all along. And it's funny because I'm doing just some different, looking at different senses and looking at different reports and about poverty reports and things like that. And poverty is defined by amount of money that one might have. I think it's like 54,000 lives in poverty, or somebody believe at a certain level lives in a state of poverty. And most Americans think about poverty as lacking something material. So if I don't have enough money, if I don't have enough resources, if I don't have a house, if I don't have a car or food or things that we deem essential, we say we're living in a state of poverty. But the truly poor, or the truly people, if you're different countries and different places around the world, those that we as Americans would think live in a state of poverty, they don't think it's a lack of something material, but it's a lack of something in the mind. It's a mindset issue. So you think about it, poverty is not just something that's material that's missing or lacking, but it's something in the mind that's lacking. So we're going to talk about both how to help or how to empower those that are lacking something material, which we can all help out with, but also how we can empower something or people that are lacking something within their mind. Because before you can gain something materialistically, you have to gain it in your mind first, just as a man seeks, just as that man is. So if I think I'm poor, I'm going to always be poor. I can have riches in the world, but if I think I don't have enough, I'm always going to look at what I have as not enough. So before we attack the material, we need to attack what's going on in the people's minds. And Jesus dealt with this as well. He came to not just to save our souls, but he came to save our minds and give us a new way of thinking, a new way of relating to each other, and to how we think and how we should be thinking towards the things that we have and the people that we have around us. In 1 John, the third chapter, starting the 16th verse, it says, "This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him?" And I'll say this again, a different version. This is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his love for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So that's what it tells us, how to show love, not just with words or say, you know, when you hear good news or hear bad news about somebody saying, oh, I'm going to pray for you, or, you know, whatever, or that's so bad. But you need to do some things with it. Love does, not what love. Love is shown by what love does, not just what love, you know, says. I could say I love you. I could say I love my wife. But if I never prove it, she'll question that love. For example, I can say I love my wife and I can do whatever, I'll say, I'll give her whatever she wants. But if I don't help make a means or make a way for her for this wonderful office, she knows that I love her because we're able to provide for her. I can say that I love my wife, but if I never do any things to prove it, like, for example, when I make coffee for her in the morning, you know, she's clapping and I brew the coffee and make sure it's ready for her by the time she starts work. She says she love her, because those times when I might forget, or I'm too tired, or I don't make the coffee, or I don't bring it to her in bed, she'll question my love for me. Pray for me, y'all. She questions my love for me because I don't bring her coffee in bed every morning, or I forget, or I get tired. I'm older now. I just turned 52. Pray for your brother. Pray for your boy. I need it. Okay? So love does, not love says. It's something, love does, proves itself, its strength by what it does and what people do that say they love each other. And it's, if I love somebody and I don't do something, if I withhold my love from her, love, affection, or withhold money, withhold things like that, is you're not, your actions are showing you different than what you're saying. Or if I say I love somebody, but if I'm always bashing on them, if I'm always talking about her, if I've never said anything nice or anything kind about somebody, you would kind of question that love as well, right? Right. Throw your comments in that screen. Am I talking right? Thank you. Thank you. I know. I give myself a quarter. Amen. There's a saying, as popular saying, give a man a fish and he'll eat for it. But if you teach a man a fish, he'll eat for his life. And that's what we want to do. We want to be able to teach somebody to fish, either change their mindset so they can think differently, or change them, help them out materialistically in a case of a need or emergency. That's what we want to do. We're here to lead others, to teach others how to live what God wants us to live. Each one, teach one. All right? So to get past what poverty is, or what being poor is, we said it before, is not just a material thing, but it's a mindset. Being poor is not just a material issue, but it's a mindset issue. And to think about it, that is the root cause of poverty, or the root cause of being poor, is brokenness. The root cause of poverty is brokenness. You know, we said it before, I'm broke. You know, you might, you know, get paid today or get paid on Friday, but by Sunday or Monday, you're all out of money. And so I'm just broke. And a state of brokenness is the state of poverty, state of constantly being broke. That's materialistically broke. But you can also be broke in your mind. You can have broken relationships with your family. You can have a father that you don't talk to, or a mother that you don't speak with, or a brother or sister that you guys can't, that you don't communicate with. And you have broken relationships, and that's a poor relationship, and that's a poverty type of relationship. You can have being unemployed or being underemployed, and you can have a employment kind of brokenness because you're not really being fulfilled how you desire to be, because you're not able to meet the needs. You're not the job that you're working at, or you're not working, is not able to meet your needs, so you're being unfulfilled that way. And so Jesus came as a means and as a way to show us how to live, heal, and how to become unbroken, but to become healed. Jesus came to heal us, not just our our souls, but our minds and our bodies as well. He came to save, heal, set us free, and deliver. Jesus said this in Luke 4, chapter 18 through 19, verse says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So Jesus came not just to save our souls, but to help us while we're here, while we're living. Because what good is it to say, "I'm saved now, and I'm going to heaven, but I still live in hell on earth, or I still live in a state of brokenness, or I still live in a state of not fulfilling what God has called me, or not fulfilling the promises that God has put on, or has said over me, has spoken over me since before I was born." God came to seal his promise on our lives and on our hearts. It's not going to say that you're not going to have broken times, not going to say you're not going to have hard times. I'm not going to say you're not going to be oppressed or be depressed or be bad things happen to you. Those things are happening. Those things will happen. We can't avoid that. And as a matter of fact, just because we're Christ, we are targets of the enemy. He's going to attack us any way, by any means possible. He's going to start attacking our minds. He's going to attack our bodies. He's going to attack our psyche. He's going to attack our finances. He's going to attack our family. But it behooves us to get grounded in the Word of God. It behooves us to get grounded in the love of Christ that came to overcome every attack, that came to battle every attack of the enemy, means of destruction, every means of way to get us down or to kill or destroy us. God came to give us life. Amen. And the thing is, I showed you guys a video before the start of the sermon about a pastor who came under disguise for his church that he was about to become pastor of. And he was disguised as a homeless man, and he wanted to see the heart of the people that he was called to lead. And he wanted to gauge the heart of those people that he was called to serve. And he wanted to be a physical example of how Christ wants us to be. He wants us to serve others. So he came as a homeless person, and nobody loved on him. Nobody spoke to him. Everybody kind of shunned him away. But when they found out that he was a pastor, and he presented the word of God to them, their hearts were changed, and they were shocked. And as they rightfully should have been. So here's the thing. When Jesus came as an example for us, to show us his love, the God's love for us, he came to serve us. And that's what we are called to do. So Jesus came to serve us as well as save us, right? But Jesus came to serve us as by laying down his life for us. And by doing that, he saved us. So if Jesus saves us, that's his job. Our job is to serve others, not to save others. I'll say that again. Our job as Christians are to serve others, not to save others. That's Jesus' job, is to save. We are here to serve. We are here to provide relief, for immediate temporary help during or after a crisis. That's how we serve others. We are here to also provide restoration, which is a long-term relationship, and to rebuild wholeness. That's what we're called to do. We're called to serve others that's how we show God's love for us, because Christ showed his love for us by giving his life for us, and that saves us. But we show our love for others that Christ has given us by serving them. And that's a different kind of leadership. That's a different kind of relationship that one might think would happen in a church, or one might think would happen in the world. The greatest in the world system is the one that is served. But the greatest in Christ's system is the one that serves. So to show love, we need to show by serving. So we are called to serve others. You, me, all of us are called to serve others. That's how we neighbor. Another thing, we are called to relate to people, not rescue people. We are called to relate to people, not rescue people. Why? Because I can't save you. Jesus saves you. But I can show you to the one that I can present you to the one that does save you, and that's Jesus. And if you can't trust my heart, why would you believe my words? So in order for you to trust my heart, you must believe or know that I care more than you. Because the more you know that I care, it makes much more than if you care that I care how much that I know. Because I can have the greatest knowledge, the greatest wisdom, but if you don't believe me, if you don't believe that I care, it doesn't matter at all. So before you have to accept what I have to say, you have to know that I care. So we're here to relate to others. We need to be relatable to others, because here's the thing. We're to reach out, not reach down. We need to come down to everybody, to the people's level, because we want to have a people hand out and have our hand out, not down. Because the only way you should be looking down somebody is when you're picking them up. Because we are no better than anybody else. No matter what you might have materialistically or what they might not have, it makes no sense, because I haven't had the opportunity, but my wife has, to visit different countries like Africa or continents like Africa or different countries within Africa. And what they might lack materialistically, they are rich in heritage. They are rich in family. They are rich in love. So she can tell you, she could take this mic and tell you that although materialistically they may not be as rich as us, or they might be poor considered, but what they possess in their mind and in their heart and in their love for each other, they'll feed others without feeding themselves. They don't have enough for themselves. So we all need to take that into consideration, take that into account, because our job is to, like I said before, is to serve others, not save others. We need to be to relate to people, and not to rescue people, because that's God's job, that's Christ's job, is to rescue others. We are to relate to them and show God's love, and we are to reach out, not down, because just as like they might be down, we might be down just the next day, because this economy is just switched, is changed just like that. So I might have a job now, but come to 6 months later, you never know what might happen. So we always want to make people know that we care more than they care how much we know. Okay. Proverbs 19:17 says, "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. He will reward them for what they have done." And that means a lot. That says so much. I'll read that again. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. So imagine that. By just showing kindness, just showing the love that you have for other fellow mankind, regardless of your situation, regardless of how you might think about them, but not looking on them judgingly, but just looking on them with the love of Christ, you are lending to the Lord. Man, how can I? And that's like, wow. That God is like, wow. I'm by showing my love, or showing love to others, being compassionate, or showing relationship with others, I'm lending to God. He's going to reward me for that. I mean, God owns everything. He created this whole entire world. So imagine just by showing your little love, or sharing what little bit that you might have with somebody that may not have as much or have nothing, God is looking at that as you're lending to him. So you might think you're being nice or lending to somebody that's poor or somebody that's in a state of poverty or a mindset, but you're doing something to God, and God is going to repay you for what you've done to others. So rather than thinking or looking at others and saying what they might not have, or what might you lose if you give something to them, just think about what you will gain when you do. Don't think about what you're going to lose when you're giving away. Think about what you're going to gain, because God's going to repay that. And then I'm saying that to do something just for the sake of getting rewarded by God, because God does that. But he also looks at your heart. He also looks at your motives as well. So make sure you have the right motives and the right message when you're doing that. So be free to give. And here's the thing. It's just like sowing and reaping. That is so true. That is so real. That what you sow reaps, and what you plant is grows. So the more you give, the more you'll get. The more you give, the more you get. And then you'll change your mindset that, you know, I don't give just because, but I give to get, because I don't give just to get, but I get to give. Right? I don't give just to get, but I get to give. Because, wow, the more God gives to me, the more I can give to others. If you change your mindset out of that poor poverty mindset, saying, I got to give this, I got to give that, I got to pay that, I got to pay that. And now this person on the corner wants that, and that person doesn't want to do that, and I got to give them some time, I got to give them some money. But wow, I have all this free time. I can share it with this. I have an extra dollar today. I'm going to give it to that person. Oh, I have some. What? You've been through that experience? I had the exact same experience. So let me give you the wisdom of my experience, the gift of my experience, and that knows that, wow, God has let me through this and took me over that. He can do the same thing for you. So you don't have to give monetarily all the time. You can give of your time, of your resources, of your experiences, because that means so much more. You never know what good your experience or your testimony can mean to somebody's life. You've never known how many lives you might save. Just by giving somebody your experience and telling what God has done to you and what God has done through you. He's like, you know what? Listen up, boo-boo. I know you've had a hard time. I know it. I know what you're going through is bad. I know you might feel lonely. I know you might be left all alone. You thought that marriage was going to last forever. And now she's not there anymore. Or now he's not there anymore. And you know, you thought you just built your life around this person. You changed your whole life and you built your whole life around this person or this man or this woman. And she cheated on you, or he cheated on you, or he left you, or now you're all alone. And what are you going to do now? Or you built your life around this one person or around that, and they ended, you know, they're not here anymore. They died for whatever reason. How are you going to go on? Listen, I've been there. I know it's tough, but I know with God that's tougher. If he's gotten me through this, he can get you through that. But here's the thing, you're not going to be alone. I'm here with you. Here's my hand. Here's my experience. Here's my number. Give me a call. We can get through this together. Because I wasn't alone, because God never left me alone. He's not going to leave you alone. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, whatever situation that you might be facing that might put you in a state of poverty, that might put you in a state of being poor, or might state of just being broke, not just financially or materialistically, but broke in the mind. I have broken relationships, or I have broken, my family is not together. God can restore. God can heal. God can make things right if you just serve him. How do you serve him sometimes? Just by serving others. And God will reward that. And here's one more thing. When we're serving others, make sure we're not looking down on them. Because here's the thing. Those that we're serving and those that are struggling, you help. They're people you love. Those struggling are not problems. They are people that you love. Right? Projects are just things that are experiments and things like that. We are not an experiment. We are people. If I'm a person, you're a person, then the person that you're helping is a person as well. And we show love. They're not projects. They're people. So if you look at them that way, it won't matter their circumstance. It won't matter their race. It won't matter how rich or how poor or how dirty they might be or how haggard they might look. They're people. God looks at the heart, so we should too. Here's the thing. God looks at your heart. He looks at my heart, and he wants to love you, and he wants to love me. So those of us that want to love others and want to say, but PK, how do I show my love? How do I share my love? I don't have much. I don't have anything. You have something. You have life. You've been here. You are here. You might be at your brokenness and at your broken part. We are here to help you. I'm here to help you. Here to pray for you. I'm here to love you. Here to guide you and to love you to where you want to be. But God loves you even more. He came to save you. He gave his life for you. He paid a debt that you didn't have to pay. You might be so indebted to others and your credit is jacked up. You can't buy a bottle of water. But God loves you so much that he paid the price for you. He died on the cross for your sins and mine. So that we don't have to live a life in damnation. We don't have to live a life once we leave this earth in hell and damnation. But he paid a price for us that we can live it together freely. Live everlasting life with him and his love. So if you want, I want to offer Christ to you. I want to lead you to Christ. And if you want, please bow your heads with me and pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now for those who did this prayer with us, I want you to text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Again, the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. I'd love to communicate with you. I'd love to reach out with you, help you and help us join together and build a relationship, and build a family, and build this thing. We can be great together. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a great day.